He opens up the letter. Dear Reb Beryl, Reb Matl of Chernobyl said that when he comes to Chasnik, you should not go to him for Yechidus. You should not come to him to see him or to talk to him. Oh no, the Rebbe doesn't want to see me in Yechidus? Oh, what's going on? What did I do wrong? The Rebbe must be upset at me. He was so disappointed. Shh. Then he said, well, I guess the Rebbe has his reasons. But when he comes to the shul, he always speaks and teaches Torah, and he says Chassidus, so at least I'll be able to sit in the shul with everybody else and hear the Rebbe teach and speak and forbring. And he prepared himself for that. A little while later, there's a knock on the door. There's one of the gabayim from the Rebbe by the door with a letter from the Rebbe. Dear Beryl, when I come to Chasnik and I go to the shul to teach Torah and to forbring, please do not come to the shul. You should not be there. What? The Rebbe doesn't even want me to be in shul? What's going on? He doesn't want me to stay. He doesn't want to stay at my house. He doesn't want me to come to him for Yechidus. And he doesn't want me to even be in the shul? Well, at least I get to see him when he comes in his wagon and everybody lines up in the street. And the kinnalach are there, and everybody's there, and we make a kabbalist panim. We like make a greeting for the rabbi. We go out and we stand there, and we see the rabbi come in his wagon. At least I could be in the street watching the rabbi come. In kinnalach, all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door, and there is a gabbai from the rabbi by the door with a letter. Dear Beryl, when I come to the town and people go out to greet the Rebbe, when the Rebbe comes to the town and people go out to greet the Rebbe, you should not be there. Stay home. Don't go out to greet the Rebbe with everyone. Stay home.
Oh no, Rebbe says. The Rebbe doesn't even want me to be in the street. Not even with the kids. Oh, what did I do wrong?
And he had no choice but to stay home. And later, the Rebbe came in his wagon, and people were in the street, and singing and dancing, and they were so happy to see the Rebbe. And Beryl was in his house, just peeking out the window. He was even afraid to do that. Maybe the Rebbe will see him peeking out the window. The Rebbe must be upset with him. Then everybody went to the shul, and they had a special meal, and they were singing and dancing in the shul, and Beryl is home, can't go. And then the Rebbe forbranged and spoke and said chassidus and taught Torah, and everybody was packed in the shul. Reb Beryl was all by himself in his house. Even his kids were able to go to see the Rebbe. Even his wife was able to be there. He had to stay home. And later on, people lined up for Yechidus to see Reb Matl of Chernobyl and Yechidus, and Reb Beryl couldn't go. And of course, the Rebbe stayed somewhere else. He didn't stay in Reb Beryl's house. Oh, Reb Beryl felt so bad. And when the Rebbe left the next day, and people went out to see the Rebbe leave, singing and dancing in the street, Reb Beryl stayed in his house. Kinnalach, of course, the story is not over, it's just beginning. It's not such a sad story. Let's see what happens over here. Shh. All of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. Shh. And there's a gabbai of the rabbi with a note. And the note says, Dear Reb Beryl, there's only one way I ever want to see you again. And that is, if you bring me 2,000 rubles, only if you bring me 2,000 rubles, then I ever want to see you again. And Reb Beryl is looking at this note. 2,000 rubles? You know how much that is? It's 2,000 rubles. It's so much money. He says, even if I sell my house and all the furniture and everything we own, I couldn't even raise 1,000 rubles. How will I get 2,000 rubles? And my Rebbe never wants to see me again unless I give him 2,000 rubles. Oy, what am I going to do? He decided the only way that he should be able to get 2,000 rubles is if he becomes a rich man. Who has 2,000 rubles? A rich man has 2,000 rubles. He says, but I'm not a rich man. How can I become a rich man? And he starts to dive into Hashem. Eibishter, please, I want to see my Rebbe again. I'm not interested to be a millionaire or a rich man, but if that's the only way I can see my Rebbe again, and that's the only way my Rebbe wants to see me again, please, Hashem, help me to get the money to see my Rebbe. And Beryl is crying to Hashem, I want to see my Rebbe again. Mirat Hashem, tomorrow we will continue with this very interesting story. Okay, Reb Beryl was very upset and sad that his Rebbe, Reb Matala of Chernobyl, did not want to see him. He didn't want to even have him be in the street or the shul until he brings him how many rubles? 2,000 rubles. And that is so much money. And the only way that Beryl figured out that he can ever get 2,000 rubles is if he becomes a rich man. And he was not a rich man. And he had no way of becoming a rich man. The only thing he knew what to do was to dive into Hashem. Hashem, please make me to be a rich man. Now, he didn't want the money because he wants a bigger house or more furniture or clothes or food. Why does he want to become a rich man? Why?
To go see his Rebbe.
Very well, very good. Very good. To go see his Rebbe. To go see his Rebbe. By the way, there's a story about the Mittler Rebbe. The Mittler Rebbe, he was not interested in getting married, but he knew that if he would get married, his father, the Alter Rebbe, would say Chassidus by the Sheva Brachas, and maybe even by the Chasana. So he said, oh, I can hardly wait till I get married. Why does he want to get married? Because there's going to be Sheva Brachas, there's going to be a Chasana, and his father, the Alter Rebbe, will say a lot of different maimarim of Chassidus, and he wants to hear maimarim from his father, from the Alter Rebbe. Of course, most people like to get married for, you know, they want to get married, but sometimes you have other intentions and hopes and wants. And so Reb Beryl doesn't want the money because he wants the usual things that a person wants money for. He wants to go see his Rebbe. Kenelach, for the first time in his life, Reb Beryl asked Hashem for a lot of money to make him a rich man. Well, that was it. He davened, and he forgot about it. And life went on, until one day, a few weeks or months later, this is what happened. Listen closely to the second part of the story. It is the night time, and the mommies are busy putting the kinelach in bed. And maybe even the tatties are helping to put the kinelach into bed. And all of a sudden, there's a big noise in Chaznik. And there's a big noise over here at this table. I want to talk about the big noise in Chaznik, not the big noise at the table. There is the sound of horses and soldiers coming at the Chaznik. And a trumpet blows. Beep, 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 beep. And there's an announcement. Hear ye, the people of Chaznik. The army is on the way to a war, and we're passing through this town, and the soldiers are tired. Each family, each house, has to open up to let soldiers in to sleep in their house. This is by order of the commanding general of the army. And now soldiers are going to each house. One house is three soldiers, another house five soldiers, and they walk into the house and they bring in their stuff and they're going to go sleep in the houses. And of course nobody could stop them. This was a command of the general of the army. And now all of a sudden into Beryl's house there come five soldiers, and they're schlepping all of their soldier stuff, their swords and their backpacks and all of their things. And a few of the soldiers together are carrying some kind of a heavy box that they unloaded from a wagon. And they come right into the house and they go over to the beds, and the kinnaluch were not even in the bed yet. They were just getting into the pajamas. And the soldiers don't even take off their boots and their uniforms, and they plop themselves right down on the beds with the muddy boots and with all of their, you know, coats and things, and they just go right to sleep, snoring away on the beds. And those soldiers that were carrying that big chest put the chest down by the wall, and they plop themselves down on the beds, and some of them even had their boots on the pillow side because they weren't careful where they lay down, and they go to sleep. And now six soldiers are snoring away in Reb Beryl's house, and the kinnaluch, and they're just standing there. Where are we going to sleep, Mommy? Well, I guess we'll have to put some blankets on the floor. The soldiers are sleeping in your beds. And this happened in every house in Chaznik. Well, Reb Beryl and his whole family, they had to sleep, you know, different places in the house, not in the beds. They had no choice. Now, in the middle of the night, this happened at the beginning of the night, in the middle of the night, as everybody is snoring away, the soldiers are really snoring away, all of a sudden there's a different trumpet blowing. Beep, 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 beep. And all of a sudden there's a voice screaming in Chaznik. It's a small town, so everybody could hear the voice. Hear ye, soldiers, wake up. We have to leave now to go to the war. All soldiers report for lineup immediately in the middle of the town. Well, the soldiers woke up. They got out of bed. Did they wash Nagelwasser? Probably not. They weren't Yidden. And they go running out of the house with all their stuff, schlepping their bags and their swords and their things. And they go to the lineup. And they go immediately out to the war, and the trumpets blow again. Beep, 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 beep. And the soldiers were gone in the middle of the night. And Reb Beryl and his wife, of course, had been woken up by all the noise. And the soldiers were gone. But they see that the soldiers had forgotten something in the house. Can anybody figure out what is it that they might have forgotten in the house?
The box.
What was that?
The box.
The big box. Yes, the big box was just sitting there. Oh, they must have forgotten that big box. Well, probably when they get done fighting that war, they'll come back to get it, says Beryl. And they left this big, big box on the floor where it was. And it was actually so heavy, they couldn't even move it. So they left it there, and they're waiting for the soldiers to come back. Well, a few days go by, and a few weeks go by, and a few months go by, and nobody came back to get that box. And one day, Reb Beryl is wondering, shh, I wonder what they left here in that box that they're not coming to get. And he goes to open up that box. And as he opens the box, Reb Beryl sees that that box is full to the top Try to figure out, what do you think is in that box? What do you think? That's right, money, gold and silver and jewels and all kinds of expensive treasures. This is a box of treasure. Reb Beryl can't believe it. Oh, it must be those soldiers were carrying some kind of a big treasure with them. Well, I wonder when they're going to come back. Well, a few more weeks went by and a few more months went by. And Beryl was wondering, why aren't they coming back? Then all of a sudden, one day, he thinks, could it be that Hashem listened to the davening that time that I davened, that I want to be a rich man because I want to go see my Rebbe and take him 2,000 rubles? Well, it was time to go see his Rebbe, Reb Matala of Chernobyl. And Reb Beryl said, I am going to take out of that box 2,000 rubles and take it to my Rebbe. And I'll tell him what happened. If my Rebbe doesn't like what I did because I'm giving him money from that box, he'll tell me and I'll come and put it back. After all, I don't know exactly if I'm supposed to do this. But it could be that maybe this box of money is for me because I davened to Hashem that I want to be a rich man so I can take the money to see my Rebbe. And if I don't take the 2,000 rubles to my Rebbe, I can't go. Because my Rebbe says I can't see him unless I bring him 2,000 rubles. And Reb Beryl took out 2,000 rubles from that box. And it was still almost full. You can imagine how much money is in there. And he travels from Chasnik to Chernobyl. And he goes to his Rebbe, Reb Matala of Chernobyl. And he puts on his table a bag of 2,000 rubles. And his Rebbe smiled. Reb Beryl, I see finally you're bringing me 2,000 rubles. And Reb Beryl didn't know if he should cry or be happy because on the one hand, yes, he brought his Rebbe the money, but on the other hand, the last time his Rebbe didn't want to see him. Rebbe, have you been upset with me? And his Rebbe smiled. No, Beryl, I have not been upset with you. Punkverkehrt. I've been helping you. Helping me? I was so sad because you didn't want to see me. Now, Kinalach, Reb Beryl had explained to Reb Matale the whole story of how he got the money. And now Reb Matale says, Beryl, let me tell you the rest of the story that you don't know. And now listen to the end of the story. Shh. Reb Matale said, before I came to Chasnik, that time that I sent you those notes that I didn't want to see you, I knew from the Himmel that you were about to become a very rich man. Hashem had decided that he had tested you all this time to be not a rich man. And many times, you know, you didn't have too much money. Those were tests from Hashem. But Hashem decided you have to be now tested as a rich man. And he got ready to make you a very rich man. But one thing was missing. You never ever davened to have a lot of money. You never ever davened to be a rich man. So there was no way to give you all of that money because you never asked for it. Like my class learned this morning. How does Hashem do it? Does he give you for free or when you do something for it?
You do something for it.
You do something for it. Hashem likes when we work and we do something for it. That's why we daven. Hashem knows what we need. Hashem knows what we want, but he wants us to do something for it. So we daven to Hashem and we ask for it. And they were waiting until you davened at least one time to be a rich man. And you were not davening to be a rich man, so I decided to help you out. And I told you I didn't want to see you. I didn't want you to come. No yechidus, and not in the shul, and not even in the street, until you will bring me 2,000 rubles. And I knew that you would want to come and see me again. And so you davened that you should have enough money to bring me 2,000 rubles. And of course, Kinalach, the bracha came through. Now let's end the story like this. Certain things are ready to happen. What is Hashem waiting for? We should just daven for it. What is the main thing that we're all ready and we're waiting, we want to happen? Better than all the money in the box. What do we want to be that should happen, and hopefully, like the Rebbe said, it's going to happen too soon? Mashiach should come. It's ready to happen. All we have to do is ask Hashem for it. So let's ask Hashem to bring Mashiach and the Geula, and maybe this is the last time we have to ask, and it's ready to happen, and then, Mirtz Hashem, it's going to happen. In honor of Yud Shvat, I want to say a very great story about the Rebbe. It's very short and very great. And Rabbi Bernstein, why don't you tell a long story about the Rebbe? Because I want to show you in this story, the real greatness of the Rebbe doesn't have to be in a long story. Could be in a short story. And in fact, this is like what the Gemara says, where do you find the greatness of Hashem? Because a tzaddik is like Hashem. The greatness of Hashem is the way Hashem can come down in a very small thing. Most people think, Hashem, He's very great. He's up in the himmel. He's got big malachim. Malach v'choyel, 3 times bigger than the world. Hashem is in big things. Well, what about you? I'm just a little boy. I really don't have too much to do with Hashem. No, this is not true. Hashem is so great. He can be up in the himmel with all the big malachim. And at the same time, Hashem can be in a very teeny, weeny, tiny, little thing. That is the greatness of the Eibishter. Now, in this story, you hear a little bit about the greatness of the Rebbe. A little bit. Shh. A man came to 770 for Simchas Torah. Now, he came a little bit before Simchas Torah. It was before you boys were born, and unfortunately you did not see this time in Crown Heights when people came for Tishrei, so many Orachim. Of course, people still come, but this was when the Rebbe was alive, and people saw the Rebbe doing all the things the Rebbe did. It was so special. Baruch Hashem, us old people saw that, and it's hard to tell the young people about that who never saw it. Shh. But a man came with his young son for Tishrei. The man and his son came, and this is the first time they came to Crown Heights, and they were here for Rosh Hashanah and Yisrael Simei Tshuva and Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and there were thousands of people here. Shh. And they saw the Rebbe davening or coming back and forth by Kriyas HaTorah or by Hallel. You know, thousands of people saw the Rebbe from far away or as close as they could get. Then it came Simchas Torah. Then it came Simchas Torah, and thousands and thousands of people are crowded into 770 for a kafis. It is so crowded, they're squeezed together like sardines. Shh. And this man and his son were able to see the Rebbe dance with the Sefer Torah. Then after Simchas Torah, it was time for the guests to go home. And before they went home, they were able to have yechidus, to see the Rebbe by themselves. There was a time where everybody went as a group, but before that, it was possible to see the Rebbe by yourself. Finally, this man it was his turn to go to the Rebbe. This man went to the Rebbe. For whatever reason, his son was not with him. Maybe his son had to leave early or something. It seems the man went by himself to the Rebbe for Yechidus. Shh. For whatever reason, the son could not be there. And now he goes to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said something to him. Now listen closely what the Rebbe said. The Rebbe said, I noticed that before, when you came, when you first came for Tishrei, your son was not wearing glasses. But during Hakafis, on Simchas Torah, I noticed your son was wearing glasses. How are his eyes? Are they okay? Now, Kinalach, the man could not believe this. And if you're listening closely, you'll understand what I said a little bit about the greatness of the Rebbe. Isn't a small thing. Shh. During Tishrei, the boy had complained about his eyes. They went to an eye doctor, and the eye doctor said he has to have glasses. And they got him a pair of glasses. And he was not wearing them until Simchas Torah. He put them on before Simchas Torah. Now, the Rebbe had noticed during the time that thousands of people were there that here's a certain boy, and he's not wearing glasses. And during Hakafis, when everybody is so excited, and there are so many thousands of people there, the Rebbe saw the same boy was wearing glasses. He noticed this small thing, and he asked the man about it in Yechidus. At the same time, these big, tremendous things are going on with thousands of people and so much chayis. The Rebbe sees a little boy, if he was wearing glasses, he wasn't wearing glasses, and he asked the Tati, how are the boy's eyes? He's concerned to know if they're okay. Now, how many boys understand a little bit about the greatness of the Rebbe? That, of course, the Rebbe did big things, and the Rebbe did all these special halakha things and many, many stories, and at the same time, the Rebbe was concerned about a very small thing. The Rebbe was so high, and he could go so simple and low at the same time. This shows a very greatness, a big greatness of the Rebbe, like it says by the Eibishter. Where is the greatness of the Eibishter? In his anava, humility, that he goes very low.